the world wants something. Let me ask you this. You ever stood in your kitchen with the refrigerator door open? And you look in, and it's not for the lack, because there are things there. And you say, what is it that I'm looking for? And so you break out a piece of the fried chicken, and you eat it, and you say, that wasn't it. And so you dig back behind, and there's just a little bit of the potato salad left. And you eat it. And you say, that's not what I was looking for. And so you get into the banana pudding. And you eat it, and you say, you know, I must be wanting something salty, because I've had the rest of this. And now, let me ask, how many of you have ever done something like that? Would you raise your hand? I am not alone, and you don't know. That's just saved me hours of therapy. Our hearts are hungry for. As Christians, we know and we understand what that is. The longing for Christ in our hearts, for Him to have a place in our life. I say to you today that I believe the lost world is hungry, and they're looking for something. And we have so many people in so many different realms and areas of life who are offering change, offering something different. I'm different from this person, and I'm different from this person, I'm different from this person. We see it on the political scene all the time anymore. We see it in advertising all the time. Use this because it's different from everything else. I believe that lost people are looking for something. They just don't know what they're looking for. They've not yet found that which satisfies. I was reading behind the life of Billy Graham. Billy Graham says that he went into a city in South Carolina a number of years ago, early on in his ministry. He said, I got there early one day. I set up in my motel room, and I decided to write a couple of letters. And I wrote the letters, and I had a little bit of time left, so I put the stamps on them. And I said, I'm just going to walk to the post office. He said, I came out of the hotel, and it was right there in town. He said, I really didn't know where the hotel was. He said, I walked a couple blocks, and I found a little boy. He said, I looked at him, and I said, young man, can you tell me I'm a visitor in town here? Can you tell me how to get to the post office? And he thought for a moment, and he said yes, and he gave Dr. Graham the directions to the post office. And Billy Graham's own words was, this is what he said. He said, son, listen, I'm preaching over at the church tonight, and I'm telling people tonight how to get to heaven. And if you'd like to know how to get to heaven, you come over here to the church tonight, and that's what I'm telling people about. Will you come? And the little South Carolina country boy said, man, I don't think so. He said, well, why wouldn't you be interested in coming? He said, well, if you don't know where the post office is, how in the world do you know where heaven is? I hear this all the time. I deal with people in funeral settings and hospital rooms, and I come to this understanding. Everybody wants to go to heaven. The reality is this, everybody doesn't go to heaven. Not everybody can go to heaven. Today, a very simple message from a very familiar passage of Scripture about a man who was hungry. Not for physical food, but there was something in life that he was longing for. He had lots of other things, but nothing satisfied him. In John chapter 3, if you would, beginning in verse number 1 will be our reference today, John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. You have your place. Stand with us if you can, please. You say, Pastor, you're changing a little bit on let's stand together. Yes, because I know that we have a handful or two handfuls of people that it's more challenging for them to stand now. And I know I may be there before long. So if you can and are able. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him. You ever wonder what Jesus would say to you if he spoke to you in a verbal way? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I want you to understand, some people say, well, Nicodemus is being a smart aleck. No, Nicodemus is a smart man. He's an educated man. But he's got confusion on this. There's a term that is listed in this verse that brings confusion of the day. Except a man be born again. This is the phrase Nicodemus did not understand. And it's a phrase that many today still don't understand. Jesus, after Nicodemus had questioned here, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, if you would, in your mind, in your heart, and on the page of your Bible, you ought to note this. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's the lock on the door of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you. And here's the demand. Here's the key that opens that cannot lock. Ye must be born again. And just as God inspired John to write the words of the day, and just as God was leading in Nicodemus' life to have his questions answered, the truth and reality of it here today is this. Except a man be born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Would you pray with us? Father, help us this morning to each grasp the truth. Some of us have heard messages from this passage of Scripture multiple times in our years. But Lord, would you deal in every one of our hearts today? May we understand the reality of what it is to be born again. It's more than a new phase, a new chapter. It's more than what the world calls a coming to Jesus moment. God, help us to understand biblical terminology. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Help us, we pray. If there's one here today who is lost and knows it, may they respond to Scripture. If there's one here today that is questioning, and if there's a person today that's a member of the church today that possibly has not been born again. Lord, I lived there for years. I know what that is. Please help us to see from Nicodemus today and help us to know that we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We pray in His name. Amen. Be seated, if you would, please. Here in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to not an ignorant man, not a man who just walks off the street. Look in verse 1, if you would. This is Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. Scripture says he's a ruler of the Jews. He is a prominent man. There are some things about his characteristics that we need to see today. But I want you to get the physical part first. He is a Pharisee. What does it mean for him to be a Pharisee? He is religious. He's religious in every way. We'll cover that in just a moment. But the Pharisees were in the eyes of all of the Jews. They were before. Now, we could talk about the attitude of the Pharisees. The attitude of the Pharisees was really, we're better than anybody else. You remember in another passage of Scripture where there are two people praying, and one is a Pharisee, and he is praying a very prideful prayer. And in that prayer, he says, I thank you that I'm not like him. He lifts himself while casting down others. We see that over and over again. Who was it that was seeking to take the life of Christ? It was the Pharisees group. He is a Pharisee. He is a ruler. We'll look in just a few moments into some other scriptures that give us a little bit more information about that. He's a well-respected man. He's a man of some prominence. When Nicodemus walked down the street, people knew him. Now you say, preacher, show us some evidence. Just to begin with the evidence of this. Notice it says he came to him at night. Why is that? Nicodemus didn't want anybody else to know that in his mind and in his heart, he had some questions about this religious stuff that he was following. Jesus answers his question by saying this, ye must be born again. That's the first thing I want us to look at today is that phrase, ye must be born again. Chapter 3 and verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot. Now, that word cannot is sure and solid. Here's what it means. It is impossible for a man who has not been born again to go to heaven. I had someone tell me a number of years ago, I was dealing with a delinquent teen in jail. I met some others. I was talking to them. It was a case where three teenagers killed two people in a house. I was dealing with a little 14-year-old girl that was in on this. It was an 18-year-old boy that committed the crime. I was sitting at a table behind a glass talking to her about Scripture. I had just brought a Bible in and gave it to her. She was familiar with one of the people in our Sunday school class. And I opened the Bible. I was going through the Bible with her. I was questioning her, talking to her about faith and talking to her about salvation. I'll never forget the guy's name. I won't mention it this morning. Some of you may very well know it. He stood at that glass wall and he beat on the wall, on the glass. He's making fun of her behind there. He is mocking her. All sorts of things were happening with that. She, that little girl, made a profession of faith. I dealt with her parents who were divorced. I remember reading this verse of Scripture to her because she had been taught all of her life that she could go to heaven by being good. Now, listen, she knew where she was. She knew what involvement she had in this case. And she fairly well knew what was going to happen to her when she was sentenced. And she said to me, now it's impossible for me to go to heaven. And I used this verse in a positive way with her. And I was able to call her by name and say, no, it's not impossible for you to go to heaven. Because heaven is not based on how well you behave or you misbehave. Heaven is about what you've done with Jesus Christ. But I've had other people tell me, I had one teenager tell me, the third of the party that was involved in this, said, if I can just slip in through the back door, I'll be satisfied. Let me tell you this. Now listen to me clearly. There's not a person ever been born that's going to slip in the back door. It's not going to happen. The reality is, except a man be born again, he cannot. It is impossible for him to enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, then there comes into question what the kingdom of God is. Let me tell you this. The kingdom of God is heaven. The kingdom of earth, different subject. But Pastor, God created it. Yes, but it is under the rule of the prince of the power of the air. the ruler of the darkness of this world. It's under the power and the oppression of Satan himself. But no man can leave the kingdom of earth and go into the kingdom of God except he is born again. Now look, if you would please, and think, if you would please, of this man Nicodemus. I say to you, first of all, he is a religious man. He is a Pharisee. The Pharisees were known as being separatists. Now, what does that separatist mean? He kept himself separate from some things. The Pharisees, kept themselves separate from alcohol. They kept themselves separate from immorality. When a Pharisee walked down the road, you could see a difference. You could identify. I'm not saying they wore uniforms, but you could tell the difference in the Pharisee. There was a separatist. He would not do anything that would bring him to a place that he would break that Old Testament law. He held true to every law of the Old Testament. He followed through with every ceremonial part of the Old Testament. Every sacrifice of the Old Testament at the appointed day, at the appointed hour, at the appointed time, at the appointed place, the Pharisee was there. He did all of those things, yet he was unsatisfied. And the truth is, and it doesn't make any difference if you like this word or not, he was headed to hell. Understand this, the world doesn't like the thought of hell. But hell is a real place. God never had you in mind to send you to hell. God had in mind Satan. And because Satan was opposed to God, and because Satan's pride was lifted and he sinned and God cast him out, his sentence was hell. But hell is the place in which Satan and all of his demons and every soul that has rejected what God made. We'll cover that when we get into verse 17 and 18. But here Nicodemus is serving his religion. He's not serving God, he's serving the religion. Now let me take two steps back. There are a lot of people today serving the church. There's a lot of people today serving the religion. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of God. I've been your pastor 10 years. You've heard me say it multiple times. If I have 10 more left in me, you'll hear me say it more. One of my largest fears in life is people who are members of the church, serving the church, and serving a religion, but without God. I believe from the depths of my heart, there are going to be people, when the trumpet sounds, they expect to hear it, but they won't. And if God should send Jesus to get us in the nighttime, there are some people who think they're Christian. Let me say it that way. There are people who have served religion and served the church who will wake up and the first thing they'll do is hit the button to cut the news on to see what happened overnight. And the headlines will be massive numbers of people missing. Massive numbers of crashes on interstate. Drivers have fled the scene. Parents go to rooms to find their children's beds empty. And around the world, people will begin to report someone's missing. And those who are serving a religion and serving a church are going to remember what the Bible says about the return of Christ. And they're going to find out, I'm left here and the church has been taken away. But I serve. Listen, if you're serving a religion, you're lost. If you're serving the church, you're lost. There's an evidence of it. He was a servant of his religion. He was a servant of his temple. But he was unsatisfied in the depths of who he was. And that was exhibited because at night he came to see Jesus. He is a religious man, but that's all that he is. I say to you this, there's a lot of people who are good, moral people, who are going to spend their time after the rapture going through the tribulation, who are going to stand before God in judgment. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And the proof is, he says, I'm going to open the books. The book says you were alive. You were born. But the book of life does not have your name recorded that you ever put yourself under the blood of Jesus Christ. Depart from me. They're going to be shocked when the church, if they are alive and they're raptured out, they're going to be shocked when they die. And they've served the church and they've served the religion, but their eyes close in death and their spirit departs from their body and they're separated from forever from the presence of God and they spend eternity in the lake of fire. And they're going to be shocked. He was a religious man who was unsatisfied. The religion is not enough. You must be born again. It is the defining requirement. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and we know it's an unusual time for them. They don't understand all things. Jesus says to them, I am the way. I'm sick and tired of men trying to come up with a detour. I'm sick and tired of preachers on national TV telling you there's another way. Can I be so bold as to tell you this? And if they were standing here this morning, I'd tell them this. Anybody who tells you there's an alternate way to heaven is a liar and the truth is not in him. And there's a lot of people who are trusting these false preachers. There's a lot of little old ladies today who will turn on, and I ought to name names. I'm in a mood to name names. And they will say, an alternate way of salvation. And you just send in a little seed money. $1,000. There are, listen, I'm telling you, church, there are little ladies trapped in their houses who have no physical ability to get to church who are putting their faith and trust in these charlatan preachers. And they're doing what these charlatan preachers say. And they're sending a little seed money. Or they're doing this. Or they're doing that. And when their eyes close in death, they're going to be shocked. I'll never forget the funeral service. Dr. Sumter gave the gospel to men that we're friends with. Businessmen. Not part of our church or anything. Just businessmen. And he preached the gospel at the funeral home. Now listen, he didn't go to them and say, well, your mother died, let me preach their funeral. We don't do that. We never have chased funerals. They called here and said, would you preach the funeral? Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You call here and say, would you preach a funeral? You're getting the gospel message. I am not preaching your loved one into heaven. They called here and said, would you preach? He preached the gospel. This is where heaven is. This is how you get there. We went to the graveside. He closed out talking about what heaven was. Finished the whole service. Everything is done. He says, you family, you've done everything you could. You come to the last place. You lay to rest the body of your mother, and you know, everything comes to a close. And everybody's getting ready to walk away. And one of them, a well-known businessman in our area, said, "I'd like to say something." Oh, when that happens, cold chills go down my spine because you never know what's going to be said. And here's his statement. "My mother was a good mother. And God will count it to her for something." Release all the balloons you want to release. Release all the doves and pigeons you want to release. Play the DVD, CD of whoever it is that sings "Go Rest High on That Mountain." Say all the good things you want, but accept a man be born again. A man said, I had her funeral. "My grandmother, 88 years old, been a Catholic since she was in her teens. She went to Mass every week. She did her penance. She did her rosary. She did all of this." And he stood right over there next to the doorway, and he got right up in my face, and he said, "You mean my grandmother, you're telling me my grandmother went to hell?" And I said, "No, sir. I'm not telling you your grandmother went to hell." And I held my Bible up to his face. I said, "But God said, except a man be born again." I say it all the time. You don't go to heaven the Baptist way. There is not a Baptist way. There is not an Episcopal way. There's not a Catholic way. It's God's way or no way. Understand, he is a Pharisee, a religious man. He is a ruler of the Jews, lifted above everyone else. But he, as Veronica ministered to us, and so he's hungry for something. And I know it's not grammar, but here's what he's saying that is evidenced by his being there. Something ain't right. And there's a lot of people filling pews today, and you're serving the church, and you're serving religion, and you're saying, "There's just something's not right, except a man be born again." He was a religious man. He was a prestigious man. But he was an empty man. He was empty. You see, that's what religion leaves you with. Empty. I had someone on a visitation this summer tell me, "I've been baptized 14 times. I said to him, "What did that do for you?" "You got wet." The problem is, religion leaves you void. Religion leaves you empty. Nicodemus was saying there's got to be more to life than being religious and being respected, being empty. Jesus, what is it? So he came to the Lord. Every now and then I think of things. I Googled this phrase, "come to Jesus moment." I hear that all the time. You know the first thing that popped up? The Democratic Party and Bernie Sanders have their come to Jesus moment. I doubt it. And I'm not questioning any of their salvation. I'm just saying their come to Jesus is not this come to Jesus. What the media was saying, they had their awakening moment. There are others who, you can read, who use that phrase, who understand scripturally what it is. But I want you to notice the second piece of this in verse 4 and 5. One, you must be born again. Two, what it means. What does it mean? Now here he is, a Pharisee, a religious man, a ruler, a respected man, but an empty man. And Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again,
born again?
And I believe he asks a sincere question. Because even in his wisdom and his knowledge, Jesus is talking in a different term. You see, Nicodemus is thinking physical. Miss Chemist just picked up Anna Grace. A few weeks ago, we were praying for both of these ladies. Because she can't. Did you hear her say amen just then? She said, thank you, preacher. Laura was having problems. They put her in the hospital. She was there days before the baby was born. And when it was time for the baby to be born, they take mama to what is called labor and delivery. There is a delivery. Sometimes it has to be a special room for the circumstances that are involved. It's a delivery surgical room. Well, part of the thing that Brad had asked us to pray about, we're going to find it in this verse. They pumped Laura full of water and fluid. The amniotic fluid that the baby swims in before she's born. The hot tub, so to speak. She didn't have enough amniotic fluid and it became dangerous. And so they're trying to overcome the issue. Now, preacher, what is that? What are you telling us that? This is what Nicodemus is thinking. And so notice how Jesus responds when we're looking at what it means to be born again. Nicodemus saying unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus, I don't understand this. Now notice in verse number 5, Jesus gives the answer. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when he says water, it's not that water. Okay? There are some other false teacher charlatans who are saying that you got to be baptized to be saved. And that the water washes your sins away. In that case, I want a new baptistry. They make a new baptistry now that it sort of has a hole cut in it like this. It's rounded. And so whoever's being baptized walks down in the water, but the preacher doesn't have to. He walks over and he baptizes and he's in a cutout and they're in the water. Now, if that water washes away sins, I want that baptistry. Because I don't want to go down in the sins of the people that are baptized in there. He's not talking about baptism for... Listen, if you're here today and you've been part of a church somewhere, or back in the day when you thought you were saved, they told you that the baptismal water saved you. They lied to you. They didn't tell you doctrinally sound from the Scripture the truth. They gave you what they thought, not what He said. You say, but that's special water. Yeah, it came from the water line right out there in Henrico County. The same water that the gas station up the road has. That is simply a picture of obedience to what Jesus did. When he says, except a man be born of water, he's talking about physical birth. Every man who is physically born, every soul physically born, is born of water. That brings you into the physical world. It's a natural process, a natural world. And you have at that moment the natural man. Congratulations. You were born with a sin nature. And it doesn't take long to begin to expose that sin nature. He said, except a man be born of water physically and of the Spirit. Remember what I said? When you're born of the water, when you're born physically, there is, it's called this, delivery. When you are born of the Spirit, and I listen, let's go to this. I have never carried a child. I have listened to ladies who have. I have seen my wife and my daughters-in-law sitting there and go, oh. Joy was sitting one time at the house, and she said, oh, wow. And she said, look right here. It's a foot. And through her top, you could see a foot. And then she said, its bottom is right here. And you see her whole being changes. I'm not trying to be funny or sarcastic, but can you imagine if there was never delivery? It's like the little girl that came home from Sunday school and said, the teacher said Jesus came to live within me and he ought to be poking out somewhere. That baby must be delivered. Born. The lost man must be delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from sin. Delivered from Satan. Delivered from the natural man. The old thing passed away. All things becoming new. He has to take on that new nature. So what it means to be born again. First of all, Jesus says, first of all, a person has to be born of water. Then he goes on to say that you have to be born of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's why an unsaved sinner continually struggles with sin. I've had people say to me, I will turn over a new leaf. I'm going to clean my life up and then I'll come to Jesus. Let me give you another piece of truth since we're trying to do that today. You can't clean your life up. You can turn over all the leaves that you want to. You know what you're going to find? The same thing. We can look through sins. The gambler who stays in a sin, he continues to gamble. The drunkard will continue to drink, and the drug addict will continue his habits, and the thief will continue to steal. All of them are powerless. If we list those off, we consider those the big sins. But they're not the only sins. They are powerless. Because the Bible says we are this before we say we're dead in trespasses and sins. John chapter 8 verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We've got some folks in this room this morning who, when you came to Christ, there was something so big in your life and you couldn't get rid of it. But you came to Christ and you know what you found? You could separate yourself from it with ease because Christ set you free. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, that old nature, that birth nature is done away with. And behold, all things are become new. Why is that? When the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts, he does some things. He saves us. I'm thankful for this part. He seals us. What does that mean? He keeps us. I'm not speaking this morning on eternal security, but that's a great beauty and value of this biblical salvation is God hangs on to me. He seals me. He keeps me. He breaks the chains that bind me and enslave me. And that's the nature of the new birth. So the question is, do we have the nature of the new birth? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Then he said, this is what it means to be born again. And then last, he says how to be born again. And we find that in verse 9 and again in verse 15. Look at verse number 9, if you would. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? Now, that is the right question. That's the way to question. You know, there are questions that you can ask God that are the right one. Now, he's asking the right question. Lord, how can this be? How can this happen? Let's read on for some verses. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak what we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And then he refers him back to the Old Testament. Now remember, he's a religious man. He is a Pharisee that holds as a separatist. And so Jesus knows, I have got to illustrate this in a way that he's going to understand it. And so he goes back into the Old Testament. And he says this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he's saying, Nicodemus, do you remember when you read back in the law, people were dying and dying and dying, being bit by fiery serpents? And do you remember that Moses fashioned a serpent and he put it on the pole? And when he lifted the pole, all who looked, all they had to do was look. Notice what he says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Nicodemus is beginning to understand. Here's what Jesus is saying to him. Nicodemus, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be lifted up in the eyes of man. And notice verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the most famous verse of Scripture that I'm aware of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Hope you had that mental picture of what perish is. But have everlasting life. Can you try to picture this? God loved you. Just take it as you. I'm not even going to say me. God loved you so much. He had one begotten Son. And his plan from before creation, he set all things in order to bring all of the people into place, good and bad. Mary and Joseph, the bloodline of Jesus Christ that had been prophesied. He brought into place the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees and the rulers, and he put them in their thrones and in their palace so that all things work together for good. That's what God did because he loved you so much. That he could have Jesus on this earth at the precise moment of all things. Well, that's love, but it doesn't stop there. He sacrificed his Son. Everyone in this room has heard the story of the crucifixion. The Lord Jesus voluntarily laid his life down, physically beaten, physically bruised. So bad, so bad. I can't pick. I know people that have said there was the movie The Passion that came out. I haven't seen it. I'm not saying I'll never see it in my life, but I haven't seen it. I can tell you without having seen it, it could not portray what Jesus went through. I have heard people say, I sat in tears as I watched it. And I reminded them, it's nothing like. Here's what the Bible says about it. He didn't look like a human being. And Jesus, hanging on the cross, stripped naked before man. Agony and pain beyond belief. That's all physical. And then somehow Jesus, I believe, lifted his head. I believe his eyes turned toward heaven. And with every physical drop of energy, he makes a spiritual statement. And in our English grammar, he said, and I won't even try to do it with the volume that I believe he did, but he said this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And his eyes came back down and the disciples weren't there. And the blind that he had healed, they weren't there. He sees Mary, he sees John, he sees all these people who have rejected him. But then he says this, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. He died. He didn't go into a coma. They didn't issue morphine. He had no narcotics nor alcohol that changed the pain and suffering. He died. Physical death. Because God loved you. You'd still be lost and on your way to hell if 3 days later God didn't love you. Because 3 days later, he loved you. And Jesus stepped out of the tomb. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Not too long after that, there's a group of disciples out on the hillside. Jesus gives them a farewell conversation. And then we hear the angel say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, this same, I like that. This same Jesus that was taken up from you will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. The same bruised and beaten and resurrected Jesus that went up is coming down. Listen to me. Let me give you a reason to rejoice if you know Jesus today. If you want a reason to smile, if you want a reason to rejoice, this same Jesus, not an angel, not a prophet, not a judge, not a preacher, not a spirit, this same Jesus, with the scars in his hands, his feet, and his brow. When he said, as a child says to us, Mama, I love you this much. That's what Jesus did on a tree like that. And he said, except a man be born again, he can not. Take some privilege. I will not let into heaven any man who comes any other way. Do you understand that? I think scriptural, the way the scripture says it, is easy enough to understand. Cannot. But let's break it down. There's no other way. How can he be born again? And here it is. Realize. Realize. You have to realize you're a sinner. A lot of people don't want to accept that. The Scriptures, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We could go on and on through Scriptures. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed on all men, everyone. Red, yellow, black, and white. Continent makes no difference. Color makes no difference. It's on everyone's sin. You have to realize that. Then you have to realize this. You cannot save yourself. Listen to me. I am not smart enough. I am not strong enough. I'm not stable enough. I'm not spiritual enough to save myself. I can't do it. I have to realize I'm a sinner. I have to realize I cannot save myself. Then I have to recognize something. God, now listen carefully for just a couple minutes. God is angry with those who reject Jesus and continue in sin. Here's the question. How can a loving God allow 9/11 to happen? How can a loving God? Let me tell you, why do good things or bad things happen to good people? Let me tell you something about the love of God. God loves us so much that He gave His only Son. Now bear with me. Who would you give your son for? Hey, daddies, every daddy in here, would you give your son for me? I'm not asking you to give your son for anybody else in this room. I'm saying for me. Would you allow your son to go through what Jesus went through for me? Now, the answer comes back to me. I can see it in several eyes. You're crazy. We have to recognize that God, having loved His Son, loved us. And when we reject His Son, His anger. Psalm 7 says this, God judges the righteous and is angry with the wicked every day. God, in His anger, He is angry at those who continue to sin. Second is God's infinite love for us. He told Him. John 3:16 is what Jesus gave to him. So we realize, then we have to recognize. And the final thing is this. We have to repent. Repent and believe. Somebody said, I have even heard it this morning. Well, isn't all that you have to do is believe? Somebody's preaching a wrong message to tell you that you just have to believe. Oh, just believe in Jesus. Hey, every demon of Satan would be in heaven if it rested on belief. Because Jesus said this. God said this of the devil. Even the devil believes. There's a step beyond belief. What is it that you believe? The demons do not believe that Jesus Christ has victory over them. But there are five different times that Jesus mentions in this passage of Scripture the word believe. That whosoever believeth. What He was saying is that all of us, each and every soul living, has to believe this about Jesus. He is the only begotten Son of God. He was sent here on purpose, Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which is lost. That He has within Him and with His blood, the power for the remission of sin to all who repent and come to God through Jesus. That His righteousness is accounted to us. But would you note one thing, and we'll have prayer together. Notice verse 70. Everybody loves John 3:16. I've conducted funerals for unsaved people with prominent unsaved families, read John 3:16 and see it fall off the lips of people through the congregation. It'd be sweet if it stopped there. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to send us to hell, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, in unbelief now, he that believeth not is condemned already. What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. Sin put you in hell? No. Unbelief. Unbelief. John chapter 3 and verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And here's the promise. I don't like this, but it's true. And I would be one of those liars and false preachers if I didn't tell you. The last phrase says, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Except a man be born again. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Thank you for being attentive. Some attentive, even though they've heard this many times before. But I want the truth to reach our souls this afternoon. I want to ask a question that is often asked at this moment. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I do not know that I have ever been born again into the family of God, and I want you to pray for me. I will not point to you. I will not come to you. I simply want to pray, both now and throughout my days. Pastor, I do not know that I am born again. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you could be visiting with us, or you could have been a member serving the church for years. I do not know that I'm born again. Pray for me. That's my desire. I want you to raise your hand high enough that I can see it. I'll respond by saying thank you, and you immediately may put your hand back down. Thank you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Any others? Anyone else? I'm going to pray for this one in just a moment. Before I do, with every other head bowed and every eye closed, you've said I'm concerned about it. No one is looking except for me. Would you do me a kindness of just simply looking at me? No one else is looking. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now, I know that this is troubling to you and you're concerned about it, but I don't want you to leave here today without the opportunity to do something about it. And we have ladies that are ready to take ladies and men who are ready to take men with the Bible and show you how you can be born again, very much like what we've done this morning in this hour. And then they'll give you the chance. They'll say, do you want to know beyond any doubts today that you are born again? And if you say yes, they will share.